evening, and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KBNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, and I'm here with our favorite gardeners again. Good to see you, Lance and Lulu. Whoa, the season has started. I'm looking at some really dirty hands over there.
And they've been cleaned.
Better get that lava soap out, Lance.
Lava soap and pumice stones.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, things are just like moving rapidly. The forsythia's in bloom. It's been sunny days. Looks like it needs to be watered. Everything. Where do you want to start? How about the phone numbers?
There you go. See?
Okay, 527-486-8866. KBNF Now. Jeff is in there ready to field your call and send you on through. So give us a ring.
Yeah, go ahead. It would be fun. I promise it'll be fun.
We like it.
Yeah.
We do have an email from our friend Lita in Redvale.
Oh, cool.
I know, Lita. Remember that seed brittle that she sent? Oh, what the? You have the recipe for that, doll.
I do.
Uh-huh. Yummy. Anyway, she was working on her Burr Buttercup, as we all are right now, because it's coming up and going crazy with those little flowers. And she has a picture that she sent of another weed, which is about the same size as the Burr Buttercup, but the leaves are fuzzy, more of a blue-green. You guys both looked at that picture. What do you think?
It's definitely kochia.
Kochia.
Yeah.
Kochia.
Do you want to know more about it?
How do you spell that? Just so
K-O-C-H-I-A.
Kochia.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So, and what about, what do we want to know about that? You found that in Weeds of the West?
Yeah, of course. You know, my favorite book ever.
Right.
It's an annual, so that means it plays fair. We love that. Flowers and all that. It's the stringiness thingy when it gets big. It's native to Asia, introduced from Europe naturally. It escaped from cultivation as an ornamental.
Oh, because it can get pretty darn big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets really big. While it's usually considered objectionable, kochia is readily grazed by livestock. It can...
looks like it.
Yeah, it can contain high nitrite levels and can be toxic.
Okay.
So there you go.
So get rid of it.
Yeah. Like I said, it plays fair. It's an annual, right.
It's an annual, and it's it looks like it's in pretty gravelly
soil.
And it's not going to get that big. That's why she probably hasn't noticed it.
Right.
For going to seed, and if she's sort of mowing that or whatever, you know, it'll still go to seed.
Okay. So just tow it up or pull it out like you do the Burr Buttercup. Is that the best technique?
Yeah.
Besides lighting a match.
I
didn't mean to.
Yeah, no, that.
Well, you could torch it. That's actually one way to just go real quickly, and it will.
Right.
You can do that. But I had some weeds getting rid of. Well, I mentioned in the past it took me 5 years to get the goat heads out of this driveway. Every year, every week. I just took an old hoe, and that's all it ever got
just
used for.
Just broke them out. So
and the gravel, and that's what it got used for. Didn't sharpen it or nothing, just banged it up.
Right, but for people who really want to just, if you have the right place and the right conditions, if you have one of those torch
like
weed
a little
things.
There's flambe.
There's ones that actually have little wheels and little flames. Jets that you can go out and you just roll it along the ground.
No kidding.
Wow, no kidding. It's come that long. Wow.
Yeah, you know. So that is, and it'd be perfect to go up and down the sides of the driveway.
Right.
Because that's what it looks like for.
Yeah, it looks like it's in road base or something.
Okay, kochia.
Kochia.
All right, good deal. Well, thanks for that, Lita. And we're going to get on to another topic because she has a question about that. Your spring garlic is up, Lance.
The spring garlic is up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay. Lita asks, is she supposed to remove the straw from the garlic bed or just leave it and let the garlic grow up through it?
It depends.
Yeah.
If the garlic has already grown up through it, I would leave it.
Leave it.
Yeah.
Especially this year. It looks like it's going to be hot, dry, and dusty again.
Yeah. Right. Mulching might be good.
Yeah.
I just weeded one of my garlic bed, the big garlic bed, up at Phil's, and there were places where the straw was too thick and the garlics underneath were kind of crimped over and yellow. They blanch, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, and so you just, you know, but everything Thin else looked great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else
You just need to get that garlic up through the mulch. And, you know, it will serve a purpose. You know, I actually think that garlic, I did weed my big patch of garlic. I hoed it all off and then remade the marks and stuff. But, yeah, if you want to leave it on there, if the garlic's coming through it, great.
It would be
fine. And where I had mulched, there were very few weeds. The only weeds that were in there were the leftover winter snow, the peas from whenever it was.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was it. And so that was really – it was really easy. And, yeah. And it came, it's garlic. My spring garlic is everywhere.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the stuff I don't plant that just comes up.
Nice.
Yeah, I processed a bunch of that this morning. I froze it into ice cubes. So I have these little green garlic ice cubes.
I had some little chives out of my garden today. It was so great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So just make sure that the garlic's above the mulch and leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're doing yourself a favor. You won't have to weed as much.
All right. 527-486-8866, KVNF now. Let's talk about water and mulch because things are blooming out. And some of my garden looks like the soil is just hard as a rock already.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually pulled my hoses out, I don't know, Thursday, Friday, set them all up on Saturday and started watering.
So they're out for the season.
Yeah, they're out for the season, and I have to remember to drain them this time of year.
Right.
And stuff, but and I watered all my perennials, all the grapevines, all the raspberries, the fruit trees, garlic, flower beds, you name it, anything that had something in it growing. Even that bed that's all the seed crop bed, which is cabbage and carrots and, let's see, daikons, radish, and onions.
That's all watered?
It's all watered.
Wow. Yeah. You've been busy. No wonder the dirty hands.
Yeah.
Well, some of us, our water isn't on yet, so we're waiting with bated breath. Mm-hmm. Although I cleaned out the Rio Grande side garden and put water on that. After weeding it and getting it ready, I realized how dry it was.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
And it happened fast.
Really
fast.
I mean,
we were just talking about frozen ground not too long ago.
Yeah, two weeks ago or something. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I was weeding this one bed, getting the grass out, and it's full. It got a big row. It's a curved bed and has a single row of this yellow lily, big yellow lily that comes up. And then there's Love in the Mist, Nigella on the sides. And when I got into that, it was like, oh, my God, this is so dry. And I decided to just go ahead and finish it. And as soon as it was done, I put water on it.
Yeah, that's what I did to the Rio Grande garden. And the rest of the garden is just going to have to wait. I mean, I don't have water. So.
Yeah, no, if you have water, go for it. If you don't, well, just, you know, it will do all those other things.
Right. Is now a good time to put on mulch or wait a little bit later in the season once things are up? Or what are some good mulching techniques or tips?
Well, things have to be above the mulch. So you're going to – if like you're planting beans or potatoes or winter squash, well, you're not going to mulch until those things are up and out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not – I mean – It you can't really mulch now unless you're trying to mulch existing stuff, perennials. Yeah.
Perennials, and, sure.
You know, you could mulch your rhubarb. I could mulch my tarragon and, you know, but some of it you just don't. You know, who mulches chives? No, I don't.
No.
You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's not, wait. Just wait.
All right.
Or go mulch
and
your rhubarb.
We still want to get the soil a little warmer.
Right.
So mulching will slow that down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. True that. That's the other part. Right. I wonder if it it's gonna, what is it gonna do?
Who knows? Right. And it's supposed to be a little chilly tonight.
Tonight.
Maybe a frost. So are you covering things, Lance?
I cover my regular things. And my asparagus, just to say, is already growing. The volunteer stuff is already up. And I've harvested some today. And
You've harvested asparagus?
Today, yeah. And I will cover those patches because there's still ones that are only 2 and 3 inches tall. Well, those will freeze off.
Yeah, they will.
So I will cover those. You know, and I might cover, we'll see when I get home, cover the raspberries because they're only 2 inches tall and they'll freeze off.
Wow, yeah.
And I've done this before, you know, and I don't want to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No.
7:30 is fine.
Yeah. Oh, God. I have to water. I have pots that I put phlox in last year. At the last minute, I just put it in and they have all the leaves on top of them, but I'm going to water those down tonight. And I, you know, with house water, because that's all I've got, and try to keep those going. And yeah, whatever. You know, at this time of year, you still have so much time. You can just sort of whatever.
Yeah. It's real interesting because you see things coming on early and you think, and then other things are just like, not yet.
Yeah. The best one is the morning glories. They wait until it's perfect.
Yeah.
And then they start to bloom or start to come up.
Is this the annual or the perennial?
Yeah, the annual.
The annual one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean bindweed?
There's bindweed, which is morning glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the perennial one.
That's the perennial
one. Oh, and then the perennial peas, those are up and stuff. I don't worry about those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Valerian, my God, there's valerian all over the place. I don't worry about that.
I know. No, there's some great flowers right now, the little violets. Daffodils are crazy.
Mine are really happy now that I've weeded around them and watered them.
Yes.
A little water, you suggested that.
Yeah.
And boy, did that make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the ones out in front are just going to have to wait.
That's the way it is this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not going to die, but.
It's amazing how resilient they are.
Yeah, it is.
They come back with a
have
bit
daffodils that I planted out in the dry land area where I planted, you know, more pines and cedars, juniper trees. And they bloom every year.
Yeah.
Not spectacularly, but with no water.
Nice.
Water for me anyways. They actually do just fine.
Nice.
Yeah. There was a lot. I mean, there was good snow cover out there, and the leaf litter from the trees is dense. So I'm thinking, yeah, there's got to be some water under there. I just hope it rains this year.
That would be nice to see some clouds rolling through and some showers.
Showers. That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for it.
It'll come. 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. Give us a ring. Join the conversation
Yeah, get in on this because it's that time of year and you can't say something that's not worthwhile.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it that way.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
worm@kvnf.org is the email. Lance, you talked about pruning grapes and you went at it this week.
Yeah, I went and pruned grapes.
You did?
Yeah, and I would say from that frost, late frost, we keep on saying that early frost, hard frost last October, I would say 90% of my canes were dead.
Wow.
And so even though I've left 2 and 3, sometimes 4 buds, there's no moisture in there. And so I think that they'll shoot up at some point in the next 2 months from the stump. And I haven't cut it off or anything. I've left it.
Uh-huh.
But I've
I noticed I did this massive moved things around in the chicken yard and cleared out one of the gutters along the street and put it all out where the funky grapes are.
Yeah.
And they look pretty weak.
Yeah.
So you're going to wait for new growth to come up? Are you trying to encourage new growth?
I'm going to leave them the way they're pruned, which is pretty much the normal way I prune. And when the new shoots come up, I'll cut out all the dead from there.
That's what I'm doing with my lilacs. I looked at carefully at one of my big old lilacs today, and it's more dead than alive.
Yeah, definitely took a hit.
I pruned a grape here in town, a grapevine here in town, and it was the sap was already running, bleeding, as you've mentioned in the past. It was already, and you know, every cut.
Wow.
It was dry, and then mine were bone dry. And you can tell when you prune it.
Yeah, you can
green
tell.
Green wood cuts really easy compared to, you know.
Yeah, that hard.
So, you know, so you always say prune three buds back.
Well, where they grew off the stalk or hurdles on the, and they call them the cordons, I think. But anyways, every shoot that came up last year, you prune those down to two buds. And each bud will produce two clusters of grapes.
Prune it down to two buds.
Yeah.
So you only have two buds. So you have the main stalk.
Yep.
And two buds.
And two buds on wherever it shot up from last year.
Okay. Now that's a visual that helps me.
Yeah, me too. I get that better. Mm-hmm. So there you – so she
– And you can see last year's growth because the old cordons are woody and bark drip ripping off it. And, and the new stuff is just a tan or a reddish brown. And it's supple.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But if you have Concords like I do, it's such a tangle. I mean, they do such an amazing – there's no going back to
it wasn't managed at the very beginning.
No, it wasn't. And
that's where that comes from.
All right. And when I first started pruning it, it was really difficult. Mm-hmm. And I did that. I cut it all the way back. But it's still – it's just its nature. Mm-hmm. You know, unless I was going to cut it back to stems that were 3 or 4 feet long.
Yeah.
It's a vine. Yeah. It's a grapevine.
You know, and it doesn't matter. You know, as long as you do some of this, because you're not a commercial vineyard.
Yeah.
It's your yard on the pergola that you have there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's check in with Jeff from Paonia, who's on the line. Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Fabulous.
It's good. I was just calling in a report from a Paonia orchard that we're pleasantly surprised. We think there's a lot of fruit out here, and with apricots in bloom and a lot of live fruit on peaches. And the next 10 days look good. We're all of a sudden thinking it's a good right now. It looks good for fruit, so that's fun.
That's good.
That's
I drove by. I was surprised to see all those apricots blooming.
I was too. I saw those today too.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all. You know, sometimes you get a bloom and not live fruit, but there's a full crop underneath it, and peaches look good. And
that
I have not studied cherries too much, but we'll look.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of compost spreading right now on our perennials, microbes in soils. For the first time, really focusing on kind of diverse fertilization with biodynamic and microbes. And
gosh,
it's really it's been an ideal early spring season with moisture and cool temperatures.
Yeah, we want to have cool temperatures through March.
Through August, really.
Right. Yeah, I'll take August. That's good.
Anyway, I'm just passing along the good news. Garlic looks good. Soil looks good, and we'll just keep on plugging away like you guys do.
Jeff, do you still have that Enchilium?
I do. Yep, that's in the ground.
That's garlic.
That is in the ground now and coming up good, like 4 inches tall.
Okay, I got that from Enormous Brontosaurus.
Oh, nice.
15, 20 years ago.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it's neat to hear that it's still going.
Good deal.
And so is the red, the hard neck.
Great.
Wow, that's
all right,
so cool.
Well, everyone, good luck out there, and don't fall behind or get worse.
No.
All right, Jeff. Good deal to hear from you. Jeff is out thanks, Jeff. Out at Delicious Orchards in Paonia. Just a lot of variety of fruit trees and lots of good food going on there. Good fun.
Yeah, and good soil building.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We get those microbes going, and, it just is so important. We should talk a little bit about the no-till thing, too, because...
Okay.
Or very little tilling.
Or very little, mm-hmm. yeah. I I fail to see how you can not till at all if you're trying to plant something like beans where you have grass.
Yeah.
You know, you just...
So alternative to tilling is that where you're going to use your broad fork? Or?
You could use your broad fork as the main thing. One of the main things they say, all that soil life is very specific to depth.
Okay.
So the stuff that's in the first 2 inches or 6 inches can't live at 12 inches and vice versa. And when you're plowing, you see the big plows, they're really doing a tremendous amount of damage.
They're really ripping it in.
Yeah, and stuff. So that soil prep, with the broad fork, and you're aerating the soil, and you put your compost out first, then you broad fork it, and that compost and the worms and stuff gets down into those holes and stuff. And that's how it's done. And it's going to take a few years for the tilth, no matter what, to build up.
Yeah. Right.
So you can grow. And the other thing, I don't know if we had Elliot Coleman in here once, years and years ago, and he's quite a prolific writer and stuff. And he spent a lot of time going to Europe and going to their greenhouse growing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he learned about, this weed thing, is you only cultivate the top 2 inches. Because within 3 years, you have cultivated all the weed seed bank out of that top 2 inches. But if you keep on tilling it 12 inches, you keep on bringing up more seeds, those dormant seeds down deeper. So that's the other reason to not till, is you're not, and you only cultivate the top 2 inches. And in 2 to 3 years, you're not going to have any annual weeds except possibly what comes through the compost.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great benefit right there.
Yeah, there's a good movie on, I can't remember if it's Netflix or Amazon, but it's Kiss the Ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool. And this farmer, bought this farm and it was all naked and barren. And they had all kinds of problems with wind erosion and water erosion and hail. And then he got this machine that instead of tilling, it just makes plugs, holes.
Mm-hmm.
And he started reintroducing all. But it made perfect sense to me because he was doing all these sort of grain crops. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was trying to grow carrots.
Right, yeah. Right.
Which is a whole different animal. And it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And the no-till thing is fascinating to me because it's so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to work really well somewheres, and otherwheres it's maybe not so much.
Not so much. Yeah. Now there's a well-known book, The One Straw Revolution.
Oh yeah, that, the Japanese. We talked about that. Yeah.
And he started doing that right after World War II, and he took over the family's orchards and rice fields. And he stopped the pruning of the citrus and killed all the trees because they'd been used to being pruned for so long that he actually killed the citrus. They didn't like that at all.
Oh, wow.
But so he replanted and didn't prune them, and they grew perfect.
Really?
And then in his rice fields, he developed a technique of actually no-tilling. And they did flood irrigate, but they didn't have it standing water.
Uh-huh.
They ran the water completely through the rice fields once a week, and then it went dry. How he wasn't in standing water.
Uh-huh.
He didn't till his rice fields. He didn't burn the straw. That's if you go to rice growing regions, it's really, really smoky in the springtime.
Oh, really?
Really. I mean, because we're talking like the Central Valley around Sacramento, California.
Right.
There's thousands of acres of rice, and they burn all that stubble.
Burn all that straw off in the spring.
They burn it. And he didn't do that. He didn't. And he developed these because the birds would come and eat the grain if you just threw it out there in the fields.
Sure.
So he would throw the grain out. He made it into mud, and they put it through a screen and let them dry. And this mud had the grains stuck in it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then he would just throw his... Mud. the mud or the
mud pies.
Balls out, sea balls, out into the field, into the straw.
Okay.
And the straw that he did take when he harvested, it all went back out in the field, but just haphazard. It wasn't like he did all these perfect rows or anything.
Right.
And he got to where he would plant the winter rye with the rice for the next year the same time. Because the rice won't germinate till it's warm. And the rye germinates at 45 degrees. And so he's getting two grain crops off the same thing with one planting. And his yields, after he got it all done, was the highest rice per acre yield of anywhere else in the area.
Huh. That's amazing.
But it took him 15, 20 years to figure it out.
To figure it out. Right.
But now the knowledge is there.
Right.
And he just tried it. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time.
And one of his favorite things for the soil building or breaking up in the citrus groves, daikon radish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And because they had that deep taproot. And he would just let them go to seed and go wild.
Oh, how
cool. And
they
break that up.
Yeah.
Hey, Jane here in Paonia has a quick comment. Hi, Jane. How are you tonight?
Hi. I just wanted to emphasize that no-till has a very important reason for it in terms of climate change. When you till up your soil, you're releasing from the soil carbon dioxide, and it's significant. So no-till is very beneficial for keeping carbon dioxide out of the air.
Well, great.
Right. I mean, I totally appreciate that. In that movie, that's what they talk about. They, you know, the carbon is captured in the roots of all the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's like what you're saying, Lance. You don't want to disturb the whole thing and blow it all up. So,
yeah.
Keep it intact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Keep it intact.
Thank you, Jane. Have a good evening.
Yeah, the no-till thing makes perfect sense to me for, you know, when this, like this guy on the movie, you know, he's doing 300 acres or 30 acres or whatever it is, you know, I'm doing 300 square feet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's kind of adapted to your situation.
And all the other things around it are sequestering CO2 as well.
There's one other book, if you can find it, because it's out of print. It's called The Plowman's Folly.
Mm. Wow.
And it's about a retired agricultural extension agent type guy.
Uh-huh.
And when he retired, he started gardening. And he did all the usual stuff, tilling, cover crops, hand digging, blah, blah, blah. And then he noticed one year he left a bunch of mulch, you know, types of hay, leaves, grass.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went underneath it, and it was the first time that he'd ever seen soft ground just from that stuff sitting there.
Right.
And so he started researching and doing all that kind of stuff. So if you can find it, it's a very interesting book.
Sounds like it.
I have a friend who back in the day had a garden that's very much like mine. And we used to weed and chop and pile. And every place we wanted a new bed, that's where we put that.
Yeah, you just pile it up.
Debris, yeah. And we just piled it up. And then if we got lucky, we put goat turds on it or a horse or something and just left it. And then, sure enough, the next year, you know, there you are planting your cosmos in this perfect soil.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah. Lovely.
I had a friend that had, and this is here in Hotchkiss, and she had just piled up all her weeds and never quite got them to the compost pile. And finally a volunteer tomato plant, or she planted the tomato, but it was the best one she's ever had.
Oh, no kidding.
And with no effort.
Right, I love it.
Right?
You know?
Well, that's what I did in the chicken yard because I had this whole bale of straw that got raked all over the place, and I had all this really woody, stemmy, you know, old sunflowers and, stemmy stuff, and I just piled it all up, and then just now I broke it up and moved it to another part of the chicken yard where the chickens can work on it. And underneath where all that was, is prime time. It's ready to...
Yeah, it's great.
Love it.
Yeah. I'll just get some more manure to put in there because it seems pretty carbon heavy to me. So,
So when you're chopping and dropping some of your plants, it's okay to like leave stuff, tuck it into the ground around it, and use that as
I mean, when you're chopping and dropping, that's the whole point. Is you're
If anything, let the leaves fall off after they've chopped, and you can remove the real woody stuff.
Exactly. The woody stuff. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what I was doing. Yeah. So nice. It works. You know, there's all these different things. You just have to go do it.
Yeah. Right, get out there. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Next week, we're going to have Wynn Clearwater in here talking about native plants.
Yes, that'll be fun.
And a little bit of permaculture from Oasis. And we will welcome you back in another week.
Yep.
So thanks to our sponsor, Earth Friendly Supply. And thanks to all our listeners and our callers for joining the program.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who supports us and the public radio station here.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Yeah.
All right. Have fun out there. Lady J is coming up with One Woman's Perspective next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KBNF.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. All right. Have a good evening.
Be kind.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.